The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. There is a terrific book out at present about the space race, and Nicholas Schmidl is the author of it. It's called Test Gods, Tragedy and Triumph in the New Space Race, and we're delighted to have him with us here on The Last Word of Today FM. Thank you very much for joining us, Nicholas. The reason we've asked you, obviously enough, I suppose, Richard Branson has just been to space. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, is about to go into space, having been beaten to the punch. How is Bezos going to do better, so to speak, than Branson? Is he going to go further and deeper into space?
Well, yeah, it's a great question. Thanks for having me on. It's I've been following this story primarily with Virgin Galactic, with whom I was embedded for 4 years from 2014 to 2018, working first on a magazine piece that then became a book. And but since then, I've been also following the Blue Origin story. And so to see these two projects kind of reach this culmination within a matter of weeks. And now the question, of course, is would Virgin Galactic have been here if Jeff Bezos hadn't made his announcement, and would Richard Branson have flown? And the answer is most likely not. But yeah, I mean, it's thrilling stuff to see, to see these billionaires who have bankrolled these projects for so long, sort of, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, and they've been putting the money up, but to actually sort of, you know, give these companies this vote of confidence. So the question of what will Jeff Bezos do to one up Branson? He is planning to go higher, and that's a crucial distinction for Bezos and for Blue Origin, as they have sort of played a double game, right? They've been playing this PR game where they are both gracious and sort of complimentary to Virgin Galactic for having conducted this flight last weekend, but also pointing out to their prospective customers that they will be flying to the internationally recognized boundary of space, which is 100 kilometers, while Virgin Galactic is currently only flying to the U.S. recognized boundary of space, which is 50 miles or about 80 kilometers. And so that distinction is, Blue Origin has said that astronauts who fly with Virgin Galactic will have an asterisk next to their name, which is a jab if you're Virgin Galactic, and nobody wants to be dealing with that kind of.
Nicholas, how much difference does 20 kilometers make in space?
Well, exactly. So look, we can really nerd it out here as to the historical and the scientific arguments for and against the designation of space. Let me put it this way: I've watch, you know, you look at the cockpit footage from Virgin Galactic's flights. It's black outside. The blue Earth is down below. Things are floating, and you're floating out of your seat. Like, it's space to me, right? It's space to me, and it's pretty much space to anybody who's not kind of a Karman line fundamentalist. And the Karman line is this distinction that 100 kilometers up that the international community kind of recognizes. So it really is a fairly petty and academic distinction, and it's also not one that is unimpeachable, because there was a Harvard astrophysicist a couple of years ago named Jonathan McDowell who wrote a really compelling paper arguing that the Karman line, or that this designation of space, should be reconsidered. And the organization, the FAI, which is this organization in France that uses the Karman line, has actually said that they are planning sessions to discuss potentially revising it. So space could actually be we could revisit our definition of space here over the course of the coming months.
Something else that strikes me, Nicholas, is how much danger are these men putting themselves in by going into space? And I suppose there's two types of danger that I'm thinking of. One, that's something could go wrong with the vehicle in which they're traveling. And secondly, that as these men, what sort of physical pressure are they putting themselves under by going into space?
Great question. So, and there's sort of actually there may be a third component to that, which is sort of business and business risk and business danger. So right now, both of these companies, both Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin, are trying to develop a space line. Essentially, they're trying to develop a capability, a space tourism capability that has a almost daily frequency that you can fly up, and that they're shuttling passengers, shuttling paying tourists to and from the edge of space on a daily basis. Now, what Richard Branson did over the weekend, what Virgin Galactic did over the weekend, was really a proof of concept. I mean, they showed that they could put four people in the back of the spaceship with the two astronauts, with the two test pilots in front, and they could get there. They could get to the edge of space and get back. Now, the risk for them becomes, can they make a viable business out of this? And in order to make a viable business out of this, they, Virgin Galactic, Blue Origin, anyone, any of these commercial entities, will have to do what no other government-funded human spaceflight provider has been able to do, which is to take the fatality rate, which is currently about 3%, and bring that number down to a fraction of 1%. Because none of these companies can afford to kill one out of every 33 passengers who go up to space. It's not going to work. Right? There's no way you're going to be able to build consumer confidence. Right? I mean, people talk about taking risks, et cetera. But if you're losing ships that frequently, if you're losing people that frequently, I just don't see how you make a viable business out of this. So they would have to do that. And in order to do that, though, you have to be flying, you know, very frequently. And right now, Virgin Galactic has only. Neither company has the infrastructure to be able to do this daily, and so you know you're a long ways off from kind of proving that you can make a viable business out of this. Now, the question of how dangerous is it? It is dangerous. These are experimental rocket planes. For Virgin Galactic, prior to Branson's flight, their rocket ship had only gone up three times. Gone to space three times. The second one, which was in February of 2019, nearly didn't come down. Safely. The vice president of safety noted, and this quote appears in the book, that after that second flight, they wheeled the ship back into the hangar, and the test pilots and the engineers gathered around, and they noticed that there was this, that the ship is held together more or less with super glue, with carbon fiber plies that are holding together, that are held together with super glue. And the back of one of the wing surfaces was there was a gap running along the back, and this the vice president of safety said, I don't know how we didn't lose the ship and kill all three people on board. So Virgin Galactic, prior to last weekend's flight, had three flights, and one of them sort of nearly didn't come down. And then on the other hand, Blue Origin has flown something like 15 flights. Now, none of them have so far been crewed, and so Jeff Bezos is, as a vote of confidence, he's going to put himself and his brother and Wally Funk and one other unnamed individual who paid $28 million for his or her seat into that rocket to go up. So, it remains for Blue Origin. They've never done this before, and Virgin Galactic is only beginning to do this. So there's
an enormous risk that the rocket could blow up is one thing. But I'm also fascinated by how physical capability of people like them to actually withstand going into space. Because I thought all these astronauts, as well as being brilliant physicists and mathematicians and things like that, also were remarkable physical specimens to be able to endure what's involved.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting question because all of that is true. And the G forces that they'll endure, I think that for Virgin Galactic, I know a little bit more specifically, I know that they would max out at around 6 Gs at the very highest for a very short amount of time. You know, I've done that. I've gone in the centrifuge with Virgin Galactic's test pilots, and I've gone through the spaceship profile to see what that feels like. And, you know, it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable, but I'm also, you know, I did it inside of this you know, capsule inside of a warehouse in you know, the suburbs of Philadelphia. So I didn't get the euphoria that would potentially defray some of that bodily stress as you're going to space. But there is an interesting debate as to whether being in peak physical condition actually helps you endure G forces more or less, and you know, the science is somewhat inconclusive.
Okay. But also you mentioned the third thing about the commercial imperatives, and it did strike me as very noticeable this week in the wake of the successful flight with Branson, as suddenly a bid to raise another $500 million. It would strike me that Bezos has far deeper pockets to fund Blue Origin personally than Branson would have, that Branson may have needed to get up ahead of Bezos for the publicity that would allow him to raise the money he needs to keep the project going.
Yeah, I mean, that's spot on. And there's, you know, I wrote something for The New Yorker late last week before the flight, and there's an unnamed former Virgin Galactic executive who says that, you know, we always knew that we needed to go before Blue Origin. And part of that is, yes, for the marketing capabilities. And the other part is that if there's a little bit of a question of altitude hanging over your whole project, and there is that potential asterisk that's looming, you got to be first, and no one's talking really about the asterisk because everyone's talking about the successful flight. If you go second and you don't go as high, then yes, that certainly complicates things. And so, you know, I thought you were going to say was another component, which is that, you know, Virgin Galactic, yes, Branson's pockets are not nearly as deep. Now, they are a publicly traded company, so they do have other revenue sources. But I found it really interesting that the very slick promotional video that Virgin Galactic put out over the weekend, showing Richard Branson ostensibly riding his bicycle to Spaceport America on the morning of the flight, it turns out that didn't really happen, and that the sponsorship deal they had with Trek, the bicycle company, might have, you know, that may have suited that sponsorship deal, but in fact he rode his bike, you know, at least a half a mile to the spaceport. Look, the Spaceport America is in the middle of nowhere. So I also was like, where the heck is he riding his bike from?
Okay, listen, but, one final question I want to ask you, Nicholas Schmeichel, because it's a terrific book, as I say, Test God's Tragedy and Triumph in the New Space Race. You've said about you have gone into the warehouse and you've done the simulator. Would you do it for real yourself? Would you go up into space yourself, now knowing what you know about how combustible the rockets are and the dangers involved?
Yeah, I've actually wavered a bit on this. After at the very tail end of the 4 years that I was sort of in there on a very regular basis in the company and sort of, you know, was sitting in on the meetings and watching them work through problems, I felt very comfortable and I would have gone up in a moment's notice. There's something about the distance that I've had from the company, not knowing how they operate anymore. You see things like that bicycle sort of snafu, and you think, oh man, like what's guiding it? Is it sort of operational priorities that are guiding the project right now, or is it marketing priorities? And that leaves a sour taste in your mouth. The other aspect is, though, all of us, I think, are probably more risk averse after being, you know, stuck in our homes for the past year and a half. We're all probably a bit more hidebound. And you know, we'll see over the course of the coming weeks and months as these companies are flying to the edge of space, you know, flying to space again, and we're all of us kind of are getting out of our house and taking off our masks and hopefully, you know, kind of, you know, resettling into humankind, kind of returning to human contact. You know, I'm fascinated by this world, but it'd be a hard sell. It would have been easier when I was still working on the book to tell my wife that I need to do this for the book. Now that the book is done, I think my wife might look at our two kids and say, yeah, I mean, do you really need to do this? Or are you just sort of going up for a joyride, which is, you know, which is essentially the $250,000 question that everyone in the line right now for Virgin Galactic is asking.
Nicholas Schmeichel, thank you very much for joining us. Really enjoying reading the book at the moment. Test God's Tragedy and Triumph in the New Space Race, and I look forward to watching Jeff Bezos follow Richard Branson into space.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.